I'm reluctant to say anything. Everybody's already quiet. It's nice. Welcome, everyone. Hi, Jenny. Be comfortable, and I have to end early again tonight, but we'll have time still for a nice guided meditation and a little bit of time for chat. I'll make the meditation shorter. If you're a newcomer, very welcome, very warm welcome to our shrine. Just be comfortable and allow your eyes to close, and that's it. You can leave whatever is easy to leave at the door of the shrine. And you can pick it up again when you leave, unless somebody took it away. That happens sometimes. And settling down, and of course, carrying into the shrine whatever doesn't want to be left at the door. And we could say that the shrine is a sort of space that invites a turning inward. A gentle turning the volume down on the on the on the on the content of our day, of our life, of our experience. And it's the space itself, its quality that invites that, and so we don't have to do it, which is so lovely. No, nothing needs to change in your experience. It's just that your experience is bathed in this quality of contemplation or silence. And maybe to begin with, it's not a bad idea to bring your attention to the coming and the going of the breath, just as a way to move down from the headquarters up there in the thinkingness, which is where most of us spend quite a lot of time. Thinking, projecting, anticipating, worrying, worrying more. So literally feel you're taking an elevator from the upper floor in the head area and coming down. Into wherever, maybe let's go all the way down. Take it all the way down to the root of the pelvis, to your perineum. And then bringing the attention to the breath, the coming and the going of the breath. Just bringing attention, meaning tasting the coming, the in-breath, the going, the out-breath. And also feeling the sensation of your pelvis and the breath has something to do with that, with awakening the tactile feeling. Really allowing the wilderness of the body just to speak for itself, the in-breath. The pelvis, the out-breath, feeling the contact with the earth, tasting the quality of your perineum, of your sexual area, of your anus. Is it allowed, first of all? Can I feel it? Am I allowed to feel it? Is it relaxed? Is it tense? Can I feel the earth underneath? What is the quality of the meeting between the pelvis and the earth? The root of the body and the earth. Just, it's an exploration, so there's no right or wrong. Can the weight, can the body rest on the earth? Can the pelvis, can the perineum say yes? And flower into the earth. Make sure the breath is still helping down, all the way down there. And my words are really not precise. They're not meant to be precise. Just see where they take you. And now we're bringing the breath a little bit higher up to the belly, the abdomen. And again, don't manufacture anything, just taste with the in-breath the movement of the belly with the out-breath. There's no right or wrong, so you've left the bureaucrat who evaluates right and wrong up on the top floor. Here it's just raw, raw moment by moment. Just noticing, feeling with the in-breath are the muscles and layers of the abdomen moving freely, relaxing, expanding, or not, or somewhere in between. Belly, hello, feel your belly. You don't see your belly, you feel it. Is it hot, warm? Is it pulsating? Is it quiet? Is it fearful? There's no judgment. Hello, hello. Feel also the back body down there behind the belly, lower back with the breath, sacrum. And if it becomes too much and too intense, you just let go of following my words, you let the body move, take a bigger breath, you whatever, and then you come, and then if wanted, you come back. And here we're going to now travel back up a little bit with the breath, a little bit higher in the rib cage area, the heart area, solar plexus. Forget the words, just stay with the raw feeling where I point, when pointing towards. Just the in-breath, the out-breath, no pushing, no pulling, listening. To this body, so delicate, so sensitive. It's not a thing, it's not a machine, it's living, it's life itself. You're just sending the message with your breath to your body that you're interested. That you're welcoming, that you're not here to be martial. And now a bit higher up in the throat area. and the jaw and the back of the neck, shoulders, that whole area, and the breath. No rush, no reason to do this, nowhere to go. Hello, body. Hello, throat, mouth. Is it relaxed? Is it tense? Is it constricted? Is it sore? And now, all the way up into the head area, the bureaucrat residence. Let's give it a big, nice, full breath into the skull, into the brain. Behind the forehead, between the ears, see if you can feel. The pulsation. The tension. Hello, brain, eyes, temples, forehead, scalp. Now let's take a very long inhale from the root of the pelvis all the way up. Take your time. At the top, hold the breath for a few seconds. The exhale with a loud sigh. Ha. From the top all the way down. And again, in your own rhythm, long inhale. You hold. Ah. One more breath. Find your own way. And a little shake of the body. See if you can feel that the shake is happening without you having to do it, as if you'd put the body in a shaking machine. And it's just doing it all by itself. It doesn't have to be a big shake. Your head is included, your shoulders. If you're sitting cross-legged, it might be a bit strange, but just see what happens if you let the whole body be shaken, the arms, maybe let your arms come off your lap so that they can shake your fingers, your wrists, your lip, your tongue, making noise just like me, and then letting it subside slowly, slowly. Don't do anything abrupt. The machine is slowly coming back to stillness. And still the coming and the going of the breath. Let the body move now, just very gently. There's already a movement somewhere from the shaking. So let the body continue to move. But again, see if you can let it happen without doing it. Trusting, like there's this invisible current that is exactly knowing exactly how and where to move the body in a very, very gentle. Tactile way. There's no thinking involved. It's all sensing, intuition. Maybe emotional. If there's an emotion, the current of movement knows exactly how to comb that emotion out. If it's energetic knots, or if it's just a pathway that opens up for the movement. Trusting whatever happens in your own body, it might be a sort of, in my case, there's a, don't open your eyes to see, but it could, I'm not going to tell you what it is in my case, because it will influence you, but it doesn't have to be pretty or light. It might be heavy and dark. And then it might move back again towards lightness. If the spine was rounded, it might come back to an elongated position, or vice versa. Saying hello, body, and hello, freedom of the body, intelligence of the moving body. Yes, and then let the body dissolve back into stillness. Making sure you can al let the body align itself with the earth, with the sky, with the space all around, the perineum rooting into the earth, the top of the head sort of deeply connected with the heavens above. In a very mysterious way. And in between the spine, like a flame of energy. If you can't feel it, just listen to the words. The words will speak to your body. And your arms and your legs, they're sort of like rivers flowing down. And I know that maybe, most certainly, there is pain and aches and tension. Layers of density, of difficulty surfacing. And we're just listening. In this shrine, which is made out of kindness. It's like we're unfolding the body and also the mind, and letting it sort of breathe and reveal what it's holding. Let your shoulders scream if they're screaming. Don't make them have to go quiet. Let them be like two crying babies. They're crying out into the space all around. And because they can cry out, they can also begin to feel the openness, the welcoming. And if there's another area in the body that's tight or tense or in pain, let it cry out on a sensation level, fully. Be with it as it cries out. Intimately being with is equal to holding, is mothering, deeply mothering. And again, let your body move. Eyes are closed. Maybe your arms moving away from your torso, reaching out into the space. Try it. See what happens. They don't have to venture very far, but they might feel your fingers, your palms. And see if you can feel your arms very much weightless. Like there's these big cushions of air billowing under your arms, so they're exploring the space. Make sure the breath is free. Your arms, you're not seeing your arms. You don't know how long your arms are. Let them be as long. Energy, arms, arms of energy, very long, touching the trees outside or the clouds if your arms are rising up. And maybe your shoulders are crying again. Let them cry. It's not dangerous. Yes, and then let your arms come back slowly. Everything is very liquid, flowy. Let your arms dissolve back. And let whatever wants to dissolve, dissolve with the arm. Whatever was being carried that might like to be dropped through the arms, through the palms. And again, feel your body now that it's still. You don't have a visual, you don't have a memory, or you may have a memory, but you're not using your memory, just whatever you feel right this moment. It's not fixed, it's very alive. It wants to be alive. It might have been deadened a bit by the too much thinking, by too much fear. Feel the life of your body. life of your breath, the life of your feeling. If there's emotion, feel the life of your emotion. More than the story of your emotion, feel the life of it. Let it ripple. Let it flame. And maybe also feel a vast sense, a vastness, a silence, a vast silence. In which all of this sort of dancing life unfolds. A vast, deep silence that was there before the dance begins, during the dance, after the dance. This vast silence, which you really can't speak of. That is not in time. That we can know it, feel it, in the sense that it is where we come from and what we're made of. And again, your body moving. Let it happen. Innocent, the body. Just as if the body was swimming in something that's becoming more and more open and deep and vast. And safe, unconditionally safe. Because there's nothing other than it. And it is the habitat for the body. And what moves the body is it. And whatever is experienced is it. So even if you become the mover, the doer, the efforter, it's still it. If you're sitting and the legs want to move or the body wants to stand, just see how that wants to happen. And your hands. Sense of touch, textures, temperature, feelings, emotion, everything is sort of dancing and merging together. Energy. Trusting if your hands are making shapes or gestures, perhaps pausing if there's a gesture that crystallizes so that you can really feel it, taste it. Or a posture, if there's a posture that arises and you pause and you let it speak. And because we're not looking for anything, it's just a dance, and then coming back again to the place where the body aligns. No need to think about what is being said or experienced. But if thinking arises, so be it. It seems to be natural to our human condition. To put things into language or into thinking. Part of the dance, too. It's just that we spend maybe a little bit, we favor thinking a little bit too much, perhaps. In fact, feel that, feel the sensation of thinking, which usually is located in the head area. Just feel that feeling of thinkingness behind the eyes or behind the forehead. The feeling of being the thinker, the perceiver, the doer, very much in the head area. Don't try to get rid of it at all. Just sense it as a sensation. See that it's been perceived. Let it unfold. Place it in the field, in the deep, vast silence. Feel I don't live inside the head or behind the eyes, but the habit of feeling that I do is very powerful. The I am located inside the body habit is very powerful, and not and for good reason. It's a useful habit, or it's a useful feeling to operate in our daily lives, but we overdo it. In this moment, feel the possibility that localization of me in the head is just a contraction that is being perceived right this moment. That is appearing in the very same perceiving space as the sound of my voice. In other words, you're not perceiving the sound of my voice from your head. You're perceiving the sound of my voice and the sensation of your head. from a place that I challenge you to locate. If you have a candidate, if you have in your experience a place that comes up as the location for the perceiver, have another look. Make sure. If it's in your chest area or your, again, your head, or even if it's a diffuse feeling of a body localization, ask yourself the question, do I not perceive this me, the body localization? Just as I perceive the sound of Ellen's voice. At some point, sometimes we're touched by the awesome mystery of that. And it's a good thing. It humbles. And it puts things in perspective. And again, allowing the body to move. Shaking all those ideas away, all my higher reasoning. Don't worry about it, let it go. Sure, you include the head and the neck, and in other words, make sure you offer the head and the neck to the currents that are moving the body so you don't have to do it. And really, there isn't an outside or an inside the body now. So it's not just the limbs of the body or the spine or the head, but even inside the organs, the soft tissue, the bone, the cells. Why not? The energy body is being moved. Mixed in with the space all around. Yes, and then again, movement to stillness. Don't do anything. Don't know anything. Don't worry about anything, she said. It's easier that way, right? We can be like children, happy children who don't have to worry. At least when we're here together. If worry arises, just surrender it with the exhale. If thinking arises that worries, drop it with the exhale. And when it arises again, drop it again. It's a ritual. And when there's a feeling that colonizes your body and convinces it of impending doom, that's the time. Come to the shrine, to reach out, to make a shrine with a friend, to pray, to breathe. Until you reconnect with something that reminds you and helps you touch this peace. Because then the one around whom the sense of impending doom was constellating, that one begins to relax. In other words, the separate fragment relaxes, and in relaxing, it recognizes. Reconnects with the totality. It's no longer a fragment. It can still be a person, but it's a person who's connected to other persons very deeply, and to other animals and to everything. And now I will be quiet. Let's have just 5 minutes break so you can stay quiet or have a little break, and we'll come back and I'll be able to stay for another 15 minutes or so for a very gentle chat. So I'll see you in 5 minutes. Welcome back. Well, oh, Sophia, hello. Nice to see you. Long time. Well, we've got about a bit more than 15 minutes. Feel free to speak, to ask. Is anybody here for the first time? Hi, Marcella. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. So you can, ask about, or ask, I don't know, it feels weird to say ask. Share if there is a question that comes up after the meditation or in regards to so-called non-duality. or I don't know. It's a very safe space. Some of us have been gathering for years now, right? I don't know how many years, but so don't be shy. And don't feel you have to say anything.
So nice to see you, Ellen. I'd
Hi.
just like to share that.
Nice to see you too, Greg.
All right.
Take care. How is Rosanna?
She's okay. She just left.
Is she in the kitchen, not making you dinner?
No. Making
I say this
it's
not
our
because I'm a
10 o'clock
conventional.
here.
I just want to say to people that Rosanna is a really good cook. I know for a fact. That's why I asked. Not because a wife should be in the kitchen making her husband dinner.
Oh dear. No, but it's the morning. It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's right.
I mean
It's morning.
10 o'clock. Ten
That's
o'clock,
it.
sorry.
That's
Yeah,
right. That's right.
I'm still wrong. 11:30. Oh boy,
Okay.
I gotta I'm still working, so
Okay, you better
today's
get
gonna be
to
a work
work.
day for me.
Oh,
But not
okay.
right away. I don't have to go now. I'm having a bad problem with my knee because I just had knee surgery and I just all of a sudden a month later got way worse. I don't know why.
Wow. Well, sorry to hear that. Good luck with that, Greg.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All
Take
right. You're
good
sure.
care.
Yeah, you're sure looking good. All right.
I just want to say thank you. This is my first time coming in and joining. And I am in Brazil right now. That's where I live. And I actually heard your podcast this last week with Sounds of Sand or the Sand podcast. And as I was listening to it, I was very deeply touched by so many of the things I heard. And it's really hard, I think, to find, I don't know, in spiritual practices for me in the past, it's been very difficult to find people I just feel connected to. And it was really wonderful to be allowed to be in the body and to be allowed to feel the body and know that I'm here in it. And that's important. And here, I think I haven't been in practice with other people in a very, very long time. And it wasn't easy. I was here struggling a little bit with myself, but also happy to struggle. And yeah, I just want to say thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Nice to have you with us. Are you American?
I grew up in the United States, but my family is Brazilian. I've lived in Brazil for the last 10 years.
And I
Go
don't
half there.
need to explore your struggles, but if you want to, you're always welcome to speak about that, obviously.
Sure.
But yeah, anyway, I hear you about struggling
Yeah,
with.
I think just difficult to I've had a lot of pain in the last year in my neck region and a herniated disc and things like that. And it's been very difficult to move comfortably. Everything I do, my body gets very reactive. And I think even coming here, just sitting, my body was very reactive and it was just kind of like, oh, like everything was kind of just like pulling me one way and the other, and I felt all twisted and, you know. And I think it was nice to just hear you say, like, you know, you said if the shoulders are crying, let them cry. And I think a lot of people were crying up here, and if not crying, definitely yelling. So I think it's
It's an
kind
it's
of a place.
it, it's a hard place to listen to the body, honestly. It's and I think sometimes here we it was different today in a funny way, and it's your first time, but usually sometimes we do postures that are a little bit more structured, which can be quite a relief for the body because they're following the alignment of the body. Today there were for some reason, it was moving freely, but you know, yeah, for all of us, when we begin to listen and not interfere or manipulate, the first thing that surfaces is all these tensions, and sometimes just physical tensions, sometimes emotional, and sometimes it's very hard to know what, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's emotion, psycho, whatever. Sorry, I interrupted you, but I sort of want to validate that experience that it's not very natural.
Thank you. No, I think that's all. I think it's just I think I did many, many years of yoga. I'm a rolfer, and there's a lot of work with posture and structure and body and letting yourself be yourself and all of these other things. And I suffered a lot in the yoga world. Definitely injured myself in the yoga world, a lot of pain in the yoga world. And
A
I
lot of
think ever since
striving in the
then,
yoga world.
a lot of striving, a lot of striving. And I think the process of finding a practice and a space where my body actually feels good and actually feels content has been very, very difficult. And I feel like an orphan, and I've felt like that for a very long time. But I think spaces like this make it very, I guess just inspiring to come back to the body and, you know, just be with it and feel through.
Yeah, and I just want to add, because I think it's that paradox, right? To be in the body, as you say, because in a lot of non-dual circles, you know, the emphasis is exactly not to be in the body. The body, and yet, you know, in the Kashmir approach, still you explore the body, but it's the body, you know, as sensation, which equals awareness. And we quite quickly want to sort of go back to this, and it's lovely and all that, and very effective sometimes. Some of the guidance really does sort of dissolve the body, but so here I think I tend to want to acknowledge this very human form that is riddled with suffering, that is really the place of suffering. At the same time, I also want to have a moment during these meditations where we are sort of also turning our attention towards the borderlessness and in a way letting the body sort of moving away from the body, but not moving away, but sort of just suddenly our hearts are with the openness and not concerned with anything. And but then we come back. It's that sort of back and forth. Whoops. Anyway, I'm sort of expanding on what you're saying and hearing you and welcoming you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Ellen, hi.
Hi, Maria Rosa.
It's kind of it's moving in an expanding way towards the openness or the, like you said today, the dropping, I don't know. And at the same time coming back, right? Coming back in a way, you know? I like the it was when you challenged us with that question today about tracing yourself back, you know, I mean yourself tracing it back to where it's
Trying to
and
find a place that the localization of the perceiver. Did you find it?
You know, it's funny because in a way it feels so freeing not to find it, you know.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if it's me, but it felt
Well,
like
I think that's a good outcome. Sometimes it can be terrifying. You know, you have the moment of freedom and then you're like, no, I am the perceiver, you know. It could be all sorts of things, but it's a very interesting exploration.
I never had even, I didn't, I never thought of it that way. I don't know. Somehow it touched me in a way, and I was really, enjoying the emptiness of, and also being okay with not knowing, you know, completely, being okay,
Yes,
like,
that's right, that's right.
time feeling like some essence in that not knowing, feeling some
That's
truth
right, that's right, that's right.
that not knowing,
That's wonderful, Maria Rosa. Yeah, exactly. You say it beautifully.
So thank you for
It's such a relief when we discover that there's a knowing that surpasseth the knowing of the mind, of thinking, you know. And so there is the not knowing of the mind. It's such a relief. It's such a relief. But it's not a relief for the mind. So as soon as the mind sort of rises up again, it's right back in action, trying to understand who is it that doesn't know and no, I know.
Also, you know, when you were, you know, every time you go back to noticing the effort behind the eyes and you know, where the thinking comes in the brain and the heads, the skull is very, you know, that's so flesh, that's so body, you know, like I don't know. It's very much connected to the body, that sensation,
It
right?
is a sensation. It is a body.
Right.
The thinkingness is a sensation. A thought is, I guess, a thought, and a sensation is a sensation. But when I speak of the thinkingness, which is a very much seems to be sort of all up here, it is a body. It's body. But if you think about it, all the sense perceptions are located in the head, right? The mouth, speaking, tasting, hearing, and smelling. So there's a lot going on here. So no wonder the belief in being a separate perceiver would on a body level is very much about this area of the body. Not just because there's also other localizations, but they're fun to explore, you know. And I don't, you know, it's not, we don't need, it's not just fun, it's interesting, and it's sometimes sort of mind-blowing, in fact. But it's also okay. It's natural to feel all these things, and we don't have to, you know, eradicate them. But they're very profound explorations, actually.
Yeah, it's natural. It's natural to feel it. There's a lot of tension there, I find. Like, it has to do with the head and behind the eyes and all the. There's a, because I guess there is a lot of, you know, we insist and there is a lot of identification with those
That's
places, you
right.
know.
Well, that's
What
exactly what
I
we're talking
see
about.
here, you know, what I
It's
look like.
the that's all right. But you're so pretty. Yeah. No, but it's a good, very good to explore this and actually regularly, because in many other circles other than the non-dual, their practices, the Buddhists, the Christians, they practice. Whereas the non-dualists, they say, oh, you don't need practice. Well, I'm not sure. If you really want to purify the experience of all these habits of, then you, in a way, you do have to practice over and over again, just surrendering the body, exploring where is the feeling of being located in the body, taking time. But it has to be done in a sort of like a devotional, like in not so that I can be a great no, out of sort of deep, I don't know, reverence for the truth. Yeah. So it's all, I think it's all an exploration that never ceases. And
It just for a moment I felt it was so nice, the idea of wow, I have there's like no face, no me, nothing. And like everything could retrieve down to the foot, like
then there's still a foot.
oh, put all the tension in the foot.
You could just, you have no tension at all, just be the voice business. Anyway.
Yeah, that's another option, I guess. Anyway, I don't know why I went to the foot. Okay, hi, goodbye. Thank
Take
you.
care, Mario Rosa.
Bye,
Take
everybody. Ciao.
Ciao.
Well, hi, Ellen.
Hi, Len.
I think I'll breathe out a few words. I sort of feel like you were at an invisible pot with an invisible spoon, big spoons, stirring this elixir of words and breathing and sound. And then it was just drip, drip, dripping, dripping, dripping out, and tasting, tasting, tasting. And it led to this sort of what you were just talking about. It led to this every little, these little, I noticed that the body, what we call the body, was having its little micro movements the way it wanted to. And that and when you talk about the doer, many times I would see, oh, I'm moving like this, or oh, it feels comfortable to do put my hands on my knees, or whatever it is. But instead, the drip, drip, dripping put me into this space of just allowing all the movements to be what it wanted to be. And it just was so, and it sometimes it was like a millimeter of a movement of a finger. It's and it, instead of and noticing it, and then just going, wow, look at that. It's okay for it to want to be. If this feels comfortable, that's okay. And if it wants to have a movement that is neutral, that's okay. It doesn't, it is an allowing. I didn't get to my foot like Maria did. I didn't get down to the foot, although that's very appealing. But
I
anyway,
like the drip, drip, drip.
yeah, it was, like, a hummingbird is at a little flower, but the hummingbird is working at it. This was different. This was like what's in the flower was just drip, drip, dripping, and it was very sweet and very tasty. So thank you for that sort of,
Wow.
you were cooking in the kitchen, some kitchen somewhere.
Maybe, yeah. Anyway, who knows?
It just, there was something about this timeless time in which it seemed like this stirring of a, not a soup, an elixir.
Not an elixir. Not a witch's potion.
No, not.
You know what, guys, I have to leave you. I can leave the meeting open, but I have to go. I'm sorry. It's because I have a call and I have to actually eat something very quickly because I'm hungry. I will leave the meeting open and then you can just stay or go and or chat or stay quiet or whatever. But I will see you again, those of you who would like to come back, in 2 weeks. The newsletter will be going, and I always send emails because I want you guys to come, so I'll send an email. But thank you for coming, and take good care, and lots of love to everyone.
Thanks, Ellen.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Ellen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Lynn. That was great.
Really
great.
That was. I really enjoyed, I conflated two of the shares into the reverence of allowing. It's just such a gift. Such a reverence of allowing. It wasn't dripping for me. I was in an ocean. I was floating.
Immersed. You were immersed.
Immersed. You know, and I lay down at one point, and that's such a freedom to not, you know, hold the position and just be able just follow. My body said, lay me down. And I was able to just, that was okay. That's okay in this space, which is such a gift.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not to sort of intrude upon what it wants. And that's, you know, that's sort of the reverence that you were talking about. It's, that's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
It feels like we're on an adventure together, and that's why I like your sign behind you, Ellen. Adventure.
People love
like we're on one.
I live on the top of a little hill in England, in Gloucestershire, and in a very quiet village. And me and my partner, we don't go anywhere much. Well, we have to a bit, but we don't, you know. So some of our friends, they look at that and they kind of laugh, but they know that we mean it as the adventure of the inner adventure of life, not the trekking around the world. But
exactly.
But what you were just saying, Len, about the, what did you just say? Not stopping it from what it wants to do, was that what you just said about the body, and
allowing it to do or be how it wants to be?
Because we just impinge on that so much, don't we, all the time? If you just, as you're aware, how we're constantly taught to impinge upon that, it, what it wants to do, the body, it's got a lot of catching up to do, really. So it's great. Mm-hmm. It is great. I work on people's bodies for my work, and I'm a craniosacral therapist. But I do a kind of emotional release through the craniosacral therapy, where you're talking to bits of energy or bits of bodies, and they're always just saying you in their various ways, in their various languages. You know, I've had to do this. I've been having to do this, and I want to do this, And then you just listen to it and respect it and have a little conversation. Before you know it, it's made a massive difference to that. It's almost, to me, like the bits of energy and the bits of nuance of the physical body, they almost have their own reality, their own existence. And I don't know, that's just kind of, that's almost an opinion, but it's kind of, I find it quite magical seeing what happens when you respect something and connect with it. And sometimes in my work, I do it through words. It's great here because we do it through almost just the silence, or even though she's talking, she's creating the space, isn't she? I just rambled on a bit there, sorry. But yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're allowing the ramble. It was good.
I ramble. I'm not really good at talking in groups. I get a bit shy. So then when I do start, I can ramble.
It wanted to ramble. That's it.
It wanted to ramble.
That's right. Yeah.
But you know what just happened, where you just said, oh, I was rambling. And you know, to me, that's the intrusion of a thought about rambling, or something that you feel. It may not even be a thought, a feeling about, oh, I was rambling, and there's something connected to that. And the neutrality of when it wants to do something and it's all okay, and you're either in the ocean or being dripped on or whatever it is, you know, that's what opens up and feels more free for me. You know, that I'm just it's sort of like a noticing slash knowing of, oh, this is what's moving. And when I'm not in that mode, I would be saying, oh, I'm doing this. Now I really want to stretch, and so I'm stretching. But if I'm just noticing that it wants to stretch, that's different for me than, you know, noticing or saying, oh, I'm stretching, or I'm rambling, or I'm anything.
Mm-hmm. I love that we practice that in such a bodily way here with Ellen. And that's been my practice for a while now, is just noticing, is there allowing here, or how am I pushing? How am I pushing the river right now? Just on a walk, am I walking at the speed this body mind wants to walk at, or am I going, you know, faster because I want to exercise? And there's so many ways to notice where there is a subtle misalignment with allowing. Yeah.
You know, it just occurred. Oh, sorry.
I'm done.
I was just going to say, it just occurred to me that if, I don't know, I've never really tried this, but when I'm walking, and if, let's say I wanted to walk faster, if I replace the word "I want to walk faster" with "it wants to walk faster," would it be different? I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that, because it's this weight of I, as opposed to the neutrality of it, or the allowing of it. And it's the same thing. It's, oh, now there's a movement faster. How do we look at that? How do we frame it?
I think if you frame it not with an I, for me anyway, there's more inquiry involved. You know, does it want to go faster? I'm moving faster. Does it want to go faster? Whereas I want to go faster, I mean, that's a declarative statement.
That's like, I'll do it. Yeah, that's right. That's an inquiry. Yeah, more inquiry involved. Boy, when the I becomes an it, it's an extra letter. A T.
So I've been kind of playing with this whole thing of for quite a while, and this just kind of flashed to me about many years ago, after
spending a week with Emily Conrad with Continuum, which is all about allowing the body to move as she will in a very micro, without any evaluation or control or any of that. And after a week of this, at one point of intensive playing with this, at one point I was down at the baths at Esalen, and it's quite a hike up to where the lunch is. And I'm always kind of trudging up the hill from the baths. I'm so relaxed. But after being in this class, I said, I wonder if the space between that tree up there and the space over here with this body wants to get smaller. I wonder if the space just wants to get smaller. And I swear to God, I just went up that hill and I wasn't doing any of it. The space was allowing for the movement to take place. It was absolutely incredible. And I've had many of those experiences, but what I'm so blown away about in terms of being with Ellen is, and even though I too am a psychotherapist, so I also work very much like you talked about, Ellen. And but when it comes to my own body, it's like, oh, this is all like new. I don't know any of this. You know, it's kind of like a really, really listening and honoring and having reverence for the consciousness of these very cells, of this very configuration that's moving and changing. But, you know, it's so, everything else come back to this pet place where what we're talking about happens effortlessly, you know, kind of requires what she was saying, you know, that does require practice to remember. And, you know, I just came home this morning from an all night sleeping test where I had wires all over my body and it was unbelievable. And so when she said today, you know, see what you want to leave outside the door of the shrine. And I was thinking, I just want to leave all that whole experience. My poor energetic body, my poor physical body was like stressful. And although my state of mind was pretty peaceful by allowing, it just took, you know, like all night of allowing in that kind of a way, but it was still a doing in some way. So when she said, you know, leave whatever is, you know, in your space by the door that you want left there. And I left all of that out the door, but then my body was saying, I don't want to be left out. I'm the one that wants to be in the shrine. And so it was my body came into the shrine, which was, and so grateful. But what wanted to be outside the shrine was my thinking about it. Yeah. You know, my evaluation of it. That's what, you know, the body and everybody else, except maybe the mind, wanted to be outside the door for this period of time. And it was exactly what this body really, really needed, was the breathing of all the way up. It was like, oh my God, my internal organs were like, you know, they had wires attached to all the stuff. They were like, oh, thank you. Anyway.
Was that a test, Claire? Some kind of testing or?
Yeah, it's a sleep test that lasts all night long, and they're monitoring how you're breathing. I have issues breathing, and I have sleep apnea, and so I have all this stuff.
Yeah, somebody told me about that, and actually suggested that I take that. You know, take a sleep apnea, but then somebody gave me a thing called sleepy time stories for adults, and it's a YouTube thing. And Thomas, this wonderful British guy with a very, very sleepy voice, tells stories about Lily's Bakery baking apple pie and pumpkin muffins and the customer. I mean, and it actually, I've done it, you know, three or four or five times, and it's kind of interesting. It does sort of put you to sleep. So anyway, I've been exploring different sleep things because I get blocked up in my sinuses.
Me too.
Sometimes I'll, you know, be up, and Thomas helps to get me to sleep. And so a couple of friends I know who have been through that say, oh yeah, you should try that. And I don't know. I don't know. I haven't gone to that, but I've been exploring different things for.
What's the name of that YouTube again? What's the name of that?
It's called Sleepy Time Stories, but wait, it's the Something Bakery. I'll track it down and send it to you. Send you the thing.
Okay, thank you.
Thing. And it's Thomas is the, there's many of them, but Thomas and the Something Bakery is the one that, you know, just really, it's like you lose it because it's so much, you know, just it's raining outside and they play, you can hear the rain in this little kind of cozy bakery with, she's got her cozy slippers on and really
doesn't
warm.
It make you hungry if they make you talking about
yeah, really. I think it's time for breakfast here.
That also could happen. They're all recipes for, like, you know, pumpkin pie and a baked apple. And but it's kind of an interesting way to just explore the sleep issue. And I find that, and lately I've been also, for the first time, successfully using some CBD gummies, which I had tried years ago and just nothing happened, and melatonin does nothing for me. But then these gummies, sometimes I use them, and I think it creates you know what it is for me? It's losing the anxiety about not sleeping when I'm waking up. And so then I'm just living. I'm up whenever it is, and I'm just living. The one thing I won't do is turn on the television or, you know, go to the computer, because that won't help. But, you know, but other things are okay, you know, listening to Thomas or just, you know, sitting, doing a sit in the middle of the night, and that'll kind of get some. But there's this underlying current of anxiety about not sleeping if I'm waking up, and will I get to sleep again? So it's interesting. Well, how did you feel about being wired up? Do you learn anything about it that's useful or
what? Well, this is like my second one. I did my first one a little bit over a year ago, and so I was expecting it to be more like that, but this time they seem to have more, they seem to be measuring more than they used to and have more wires. So I haven't heard the results. I just got home this morning. I'm surprised I'm even here because I don't think I slept much. Anyway, I should get going. I'm hungry, but it was great to spend some time with you all.
It was, yeah, really.
Can I ask where you are in physical space? I know where
right
Claire
now?
Is. Yeah. Well, I know where Claire is. Len, where is
I'm
your
in
home?
Berkeley. I'm in Berkeley.
Okay, great.
Where are you?
I'm in Midcoast, Maine.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay. And so, Claire is Sebastopol? Or?
Well, Sonoma Mountain. Yeah. Sonoma. Between east of Santa Rosa.
Yeah. Right.
West of Kenwood. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And where did you say in England you were?
Gloucestershire, not that far from Ellen. Ellen is outside Oxford, which is about an hour's drive for me. So I'm a little bit inland from Gloucestershire. It's kind of right in the middle of, it's a bit north.
Are you close enough to go see her in person when she has
So
human beings there?
Yeah, yeah. So I probably will if she does that. But she seems to be so busy flying off to America and things. But yes, I will if she does. Yeah, and it's nice that she's so close. It's quite amazing, really. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Are you going to her weekend in, where is it? Is it Belgium?
Devon. Yeah, but she's doing a retreat in Devon. I don't know, because I don't sleep very well either. A lot of people have sleep problems, and I'm one of them. And you have early morning starts, and I know it sounds a bit pathetic, but to be honest, I kind of, the time I get my quality sleep is the morning when most people are starting to get up, and I'm starting to not fight that and go with it a bit, because I'm better if I go to bed late and get up late. But also I don't know, I'm quite shy in groups as well, so it's kind of yeah, but so I'm not going to the retreat at this point. I might do it at some point, maybe the following year, so we'll see how I go. But yeah, but if she does an event, I'll definitely go. Yeah, yeah.
So if I ever come, I have to go too. So
yeah, okay. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.